This is the Goalkeepers Union podcast.
Hello and welcome to the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, me, Matt Beadle, here with the tranquil voice of goalkeeping, Richard Lee.
Good morning, Matthew. In fact, I say good morning. It's good evening for you, isn't it? Good morning for me, good evening for you. 12 hours apart we are right now.
Can you, Adam and Eve, it? Yes, 12 whole hours, which actually works out for us in terms of communication. When I'm at home, can barely get hold of you, but when I'm here, that 12 hours makes a big difference.
It does. We're literally the other side of the world from me, and yet we're doing this. Technology is incredible. It makes no sense. I'm looking at a screen right now. There you are in real time. How can your face be on the screen when you are thousands of miles away? It makes no sense.
Well, I mean, that is modern tech for you, Richard. Welcome to the new world. Wait, to be fair, hang on. You are a massive advocate for modern tech. You love modern tech.
Oh, absolutely. It still makes no sense. I mean, as much as people will tell me, oh, it's a satellite in the sky, something goes to a satellite, goes somewhere else, how can it happen instantly? Answer me that, Matthew. Answer me that.
Well, I tell you what, it sounds like you've had plenty of time to think about this because you are the tranquil voice of goalkeeping. You've been relaxing, bit of a calm before the storm.
Yeah, so you find that in the agency world, February is a very quiet month. You've got two really quiet months of the year, February and September. Of course, the window closes, recruitment teams take a little bit of downtime, and normally then February is quite quiet. And then, of course, in March, it starts to build up. You've got some teams that know where they're going to be next season. There's obviously a lot that are still fighting promotion, relegation, but you do have some now that are maybe sat in mid-table. They can start to plan that little bit further in advance. So that will start the next week or so. But yeah, very, very calm month, February. It's nice. It's nice. It's quite nice after the busyness of January, the busyness of the summer window, to have that little bit of quiet time. But it will all get going again next week. The rumours will start. There's already all sorts of rumours I'm seeing in the press about some of the bigger goalkeepers at the bigger clubs. But no doubt that will be in full flow again in the next few weeks.
You veered dangerously close to the rumour mill there, Richard. We don't do rumour on the Goalkeepers Union podcast, do we? Just solid facts, please.
Okay, I do apologise. I do apologise.
Apology accepted, Richard. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, plenty coming up on the show. Got a good feeling about this one, actually. Loads of good goalkeeping action over the weekend and loads more to come as of Tuesday night. Of course, as of tonight, when you are probably listening to this for the first time, a near full complement of midweek fixtures in the EFL, plus some FA Cup stuff too. So I guess we should quickly crack on with the show.
Let's do it.
Starting where else but in the Carabao Cup, the final between Liverpool and Chelsea. Liverpool winning by 1-0, thanks almost wholly to Queeveen Kelleher. What a performance. Saves from Cole Palmer, saves from Conor Gallagher, saves from a host of others. He looked composed, he looked assured, he looked comfortable throughout. Very much the match winner yet again for Liverpool in a Carabao Cup final, and plenty of plaudits too. His manager Jurgen Klopp, his captain Virgil van Dijk, and pretty much everyone on social media and across the board was raving about Queeveen.
And rightly so. Yeah, do you know what? Massive, massive credit. How often do we speak on this podcast about goalkeepers that, I know he's played a bit recently, but step in for games like that when he doesn't have a wealth of experience. So to be able to step in like that, and the amount of times he's done it now, and every single time produces a performance like this, or certainly in the, you know, the biggest occasions, he's produced some massive performances. And I thought this one was excellent. The save that he made first half, it's one of the best saves I've seen this season. And as much as you can look at it and, okay, he's predicted the situation, he's guessed, and the ball, you know, effectively there's not necessarily a reaction once the ball struck, but I thought the reading of the situation was just perfect. The timing of the dive, waits for that moment that the connection's about to happen, reads what's going to happen, throws himself full stretch to his left, and it is just an outstanding save. The one-on-one save as well, second half, the timing of that, just perfect. And again, I'm going to be talking about that a lot, I feel, on this podcast, because there's some really good examples. But the way in which he's read this situation and the timing is key. I think that you often see goalkeepers that might come out too soon, that might stay on the line, and by the time they do approach, they've given the attacker too much time. But I thought this, it couldn't have been more spot on, in that he's advanced. The moment the touch is taken, he's right on the player's feet, spreads well, brilliant save, and a good save as well with his feet later on. I just thought throughout, he just looked so composed. And actually, the point that I wanted to bring up with this is more that we talk a lot about the route to the top, you know, and there is a bit of a tried and tested. You look at pretty much every other goalkeeper, every other English goalkeeper in the Premier League, they've all gone down a similar route. They've built themselves up from lower down. It's almost effectively a ladder, and they've climbed that ladder all the way to the Premier League, and they're now getting their game time, whereas he is the anomaly. And I quite like the fact that he's the anomaly, because I'd love it if clubs did see it in this way, that they could believe that a player can come through the academy, not necessarily have to go on several loans, and be good enough and experienced enough to step into the first team. And it is so rare. I get why clubs will send the goalkeepers on loan. And again, it makes complete sense. They're kind of building their career, building their CV lower down, ready for when they're stepping in for that big moment, building that mental stability, I suppose that's probably the term, so that when they are stepping into a game like this, it's not brand new to them. But Kelleher, you actually look at the number of games he's played, which isn't a huge amount, but he's done it in such a different way to every other Premier League goalkeeper. And once again, a game like this, you know, it can be a bit much when you're not playing all that much, and you might make some rash decisions, you might look to chase the game. But I just thought he looked so calm throughout, and again, the big saves at big moments, thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he really was. And I can't recall a goalkeeper, especially in the Premier League, to have had a career trajectory like Kevin Kelleher has so far. And maybe this is the power of recency, but I can't recall a goalkeeper to have been as effective as a number two either. And this is huge now for him and for Liverpool as a decision that needs to be made, I guess, in the summer. And such is the narrative now surrounding Kevin Kelleher after that performance, as it was pretty much when he did this in the Carabao Cup final against Chelsea a couple of seasons ago. And if we are to believe, if we hark back to the rumour mill that you brought up earlier, the rumours that are now surrounding Kevin Kelleher about where he might move in the summer, what would you say his next steps will be, and what do you think the next step should be for Kelleher?
And this is where it's tricky, because ultimately he wants to be Liverpool's number one. That would be the end goal. So you have got the decision that you can move elsewhere in the Premier League. Is he going to go to a top six club as number one? Probably not, just again, purely based on CV. So it might be sort of mid-level Premier League club, which would then be, in theory, if you're then going to get yourself back to a top six, almost to one step back for two steps forward. However, actually, is there that route to become a number one at Liverpool? Look, Alisson's fantastic. We speak about him all the time. He's one of the best in the world, if not the best in the world. So it's not going to be easy to get past him. But is there a legitimate route to be a number one at Liverpool? We talk about Martinez. Martinez only really made himself a number one at Arsenal. And even that was reasonably short-lived, because he did decide to move on. But he did that at 28 years old. So is it one where there is a route to become number one? If so, then I think he stays put, if he is the one in waiting. If not, then yeah, there has to be a point. You know, there has to be a point. I did wonder whether it happened last summer. Didn't quite materialise. So will it be this summer? And naturally, the more games that he plays and the more top performances he puts in, the more likely that is to happen. Because, of course, with each game, he's going to have more and more admirers, more and more Premier League clubs that are looking at him thinking, yes, he can be our number one. We can offer him guaranteed game time, first team game time, week after week. So I think there might be a decision for Liverpool this summer, because I don't think, you know, any player will get to that point where they're like, right, I need to play now. And it's just a question of whether he is at that point. My gut says he probably is now. And then it's a question for Liverpool. Okay, is he ready to be our number one? I mean, if so, then again, there's a lot that needs to happen to make that happen. And if they still feel that Alisson is the number one, and of course, given what Alisson's done, that is the likely scenario, then it's what do you do? Is it time to cash in? They won't want to. They'll want to keep him there. To replace him is going to be very difficult, to find someone that's got the mentality, the ability that he's got to be able to step in. But I do think they're getting to a point where a decision will need to be made.
Before we move on, we did have a WhatsApp from that game. This is from Ian Longstaff, who says, "Hi, the Goalkeepers Union podcast. I watched the Carabao Cup final yesterday. Both goalkeepers had really good games. The Kelleher save from Gallagher is a great example for all junior keepers to advance quickly, then hold and delay for as long as possible. An observation from the winning goal scored by Virgil van Dijk, which goes back to a discussion that I had with Richard on Twitter after listening to the podcast, is that if you watch Petrovic, he takes a high bounce. His left foot touches the ground first and he goes to push off with that foot. His right foot goes in towards the left to again push. At this moment, I don't think he has enough power in the legs to dive. I'm not saying had he done it another way, he saves it." That is again from Ian Longstaff. Thank you for that, Ian.
Yeah, really good message. Firstly, spot on in regards to Kelleher. As we mentioned, I thought that the technique, the execution, the timing, everything about it was spot on. And look, it's an interesting one, the goal, in that the reason that it makes it very difficult is, of course, he is moving to the left, and correctly so. Like, as the ball's whipped in, you're taking up a position where you give yourself the best chance percentage-wise to make a save. So he has to move to his left. Now, we spoke a lot recently on the podcast about being balanced at the moment of set. I do think it's really difficult with this one because naturally you're moving to the left, and similar to an Edison save we're going to talk about shortly where he moves to his right, makes the save to his right, with your momentum going to the left, to be able to then set in a balanced position is unusual. And so naturally you will have your weight on the left-hand side. And of course, this all happens in a split second. The moment the header then goes to your right, naturally with your weight being on your left, you can't transfer the weight into the right to get that push off. So you see this so often where the dive effectively becomes a bit of an arc because you're pushing off your left foot, you're trying to get back to your right, you're not able to get any real leverage on the dive because it's so quick. And it is difficult. I guess it would be a question of then, can you get to that position and be completely neutral? But then even that, I guess the majority of the balls would probably go to his left-hand side in this situation. So there is a tendency to have that little bit more weight on the left. So look, certainly no error here. I think, you know, most goalkeepers, this will beat most goalkeepers, of course. And I think Ian touches on that, of course, in the message. I guess the only question is, can you be that tiny bit more neutral? The timing of the set, he mentioned the bounce before the set, and of course there's ordinarily a bounce, and the timing of it is absolutely key. I don't think he's far off it, and whether he actually makes a save, even if he maximizes his power into the right foot, I'm not sure, given the quality of the header, glancing header, I think it probably beats him anyway. But that's always a question. I guess it's always for goalkeepers. You're looking for that little 1%. Can you improve that set ever so slightly? When you are moving left to right, can you be as neutral as possible? Are you able to explode back on yourself as quickly as possible? And if you can gain that extra couple of inches, that extra foot in your dive, then of course, over the course of a career, you're going to make more saves. And again, in saying all that, I think even if he times this perfectly, I still don't think he makes a save.
Good stuff. Thank you for that, Ian. And thank you for that, Richard. Good insight, mate. Some good insight from you already on this podcast today.
Unusual. I'm actually doing, I don't mind sharing this, I am doing the podcast from my bed today. First ever time, because it's quite early for me over here. So maybe it's that. Maybe I'm more inspired when I'm sat on my bed.
Certainly. Perhaps that's your happy place, Richard. Perhaps that
absolutely.
Is your...
I just, I'll have a nap after this, just to recoup after all this insight.
I'm glad you said nap. Okay. If you'd like to get in touch with us, by the way, like Ian did, on Twitter at GK Union, hello at goalkeepersunion.net, or on our phone number 07503673022. Zero. Moving on to the Premier League, where it was Arsenal 4, Newcastle 1. And Loris Karius made his first competitive appearance since last season's Carabao Cup final. It's his first game in the Premier League since May 2018. And I thought he did well. A couple of good saves and some decent distribution too.
I would agree. John, I'm just going to make a very, very quick point on Petrovic. I thought he was excellent in the final two. And I just wanted to make a point on that. I know we spoke about the goal there, but made several saves. And again, a goalkeeper that's not so long been in the team, really established himself, is fair to say, and certainly see a lot of the qualities that he brings. And I thought in the cup final, you know, as much as, and actually, and we haven't mentioned Gary Neville's comment about the Chelsea team towards the end, but I thought that Petrovic, you know, certainly was one of the standout players for Chelsea. So just wanted to make that point, if that's okay with you, Matthew. But no, certainly talking about Karius, no, as you say, look, a really tough one to come into. I knew there was rumours flying around before the game that he was probably going to start. He did, and certainly did himself justice, and you know, you got a feel for him on the goal because I think he makes a fantastic save on the goal. We're talking about the Petrovic one actually just before, and similarities here in that he's had to move to his left to cover that near post area. The ball has gone to his left, so he's going with momentum, but the reaction's excellent, and then to see what happens in front of him, it's just a comedy of errors, really. Obviously nothing he can do thereafter, but as mentioned, step into a game of that magnitude, hasn't played for a long time, it's never easy to then hit the ground running, but I thought he did himself proud.
Over to the Vitality, where it was Bournemouth 0, Manchester City 1. And Edison, you've already referenced him on the show. He made a couple of big saves, a tip over from Kirikez and a punch out from Dominic Solanke too. Thoughts on the second one here, the second save he made from Solanke, because he was behind the line. I'd like to know what you make of goalkeepers when they are behind the line when making saves.
Yeah, well, obviously in this case, I've got no issue with it because what he's done, I think if you actually look at this and think about it logically, if he's to go across the line and take up a position. Obviously, his reaction time would be next to nothing. And there's a good chance it goes through him, good chance it beats him. I think in this situation, and he knows his position, he knows he's behind the line for the fact that he dives forward effectively. But what he's done here in this case is that he has given himself that little bit of reaction time. The ball's going to be in front of him wherever it is, to his right, in front, to his left. And actually, again, talking about that neutral position, he's able to take up quite a neutral position, but knowing that he's effectively going to have to do a Superman dive forward in order to try and get something on the ball. So I've got no issue with this at all, to have that reaction time. I think realistically, if he's going across the line and taking up what I suppose you consider like a true position, this is where you'd see the old school Schmeichel star jump or something like that, because you just don't have any reaction time. So realistically, you're going to have to get a block on the ball because you're not going to be able to react to the situation that happens in front of you. He's done the other option, which is give himself a little bit of room, but knowing and having that awareness that if he is to make the save, he's going to have to attack the ball, which he does brilliantly.
Quickly on Alphonse Areola, producing the goods again. West Ham 4, Brentford 1 on Monday night. Saves from Ivan Toney, Mikkel Damsgaard with the game pretty much all but done. But at 3-1, he made a very good stop from Frank Onyeka. Can't be understated, that one.
Brilliant save. Do you know what? This is so sharp. Again, a lot of what we talk about is movement, set position, the speed at which we're able to react. And I think in this situation, the position he's taken up is perfect for the moment, because this is going right in the bottom corner. And I think if he's an inch further to his left, it's tough to get down to make the save. And the execution of the strike couldn't have been any better. It's going right in the bottom right-hand corner as Areola's looking at it. He's managed to get himself back to his line, set, and the speed at which he gets down. And we talk about speed a lot with Areola, but it is a phenomenal save. And I know I say this a lot, but definitely true in this situation. I don't think there's many goalkeepers in the world that can make the save, but that's certainly one of Areola's super strengths.
Elsewhere, a few stats to finish the Premier League on, Richard. The first one being that Everton conceded their first headed goal this season at the weekend. So that is, to clarify, the first goal from a header to be scored against them so far this campaign. That was Lewis Dunk bagging a very late equaliser for Brighton. But the second stat, and this was shown on Monday Night Football before that game between West Ham and Brentford, is that Jordan Pickford has made more passes into the opposition box than any other goalkeeper this season, by an absolute country mile, by the way. So he's on 58. The closest to him is Mark Flecken on 14. However, only Sheffield United and Burnley have scored fewer this season. So Everton has scored the third fewest in the Premier League this season. So based purely on that evidence, it doesn't really seem to be paying dividends.
Yeah. Well, do you know what? Look, there's obviously Sean Dyche does have a certain way of playing, which has worked brilliantly for him in teams that have struggled or should struggle over the years. And he's got a certain way, very different, you'd argue, to most Premier League clubs. And on the whole, obviously, it does work. You know, you mentioned they're defensively very, very strong when it comes to set pieces and so on and so forth. Attacking-wise, very strong when it comes to set pieces. And they do look to get balls in the box. You know, it is as simple as that. And I think, you know, that stat does surprise me, but at the same time doesn't, because I think that, and someone like Jordan Pickford, who can launch it an absolute mile, when he is getting the opportunity to move up the pitch and fire it into the box, it is percentage football. And like you say, they're not necessarily free-flowing in terms of the goals they score. But I'm sure if we were to look back over all the goals they've scored this season, a lot of them will be from these longer balls into the box, looking for a bit of a melee, looking to finish the opportunity that comes up. Will be from set pieces, of course. And it does work to an extent. You know, take out the points deduction, it's just been reduced, but take that out and they're performing very well this season.
They are indeed. And we mentioned Sheffield United and Burnley just there. They have conceded the most goals from corners this season. Who do you think's conceded the third most this season?
Ooh,
from corners.
From corners. Go on, Man United.
Not Man United, no. Aston Villa.
Wow, okay. That does surprise me. There you go. You have shocked me, Matthew. I am shocked.
Good, that came up in the 4-2 victory over Nottingham Forest at the weekend. And from one ex-Aston Villa goalkeeper coach to now being the current Wolverhampton Wanderers goalkeeper coach, we cannot finish the Premier League coverage without mentioning one heck of a goal in training from Mr. Neil Cutler. So this was pointed out to us by @KingWolf84 on Twitter. What a finish from the big man.
Great finish. Although for a split second, he has exited the goalkeepers union. I mean, look, he's got entry back in, I'm sure, but I couldn't see it. I think it was Dan Bentley in goal. I mean, obviously, he's got absolutely no chance for the finish whatsoever. But I think I would be a little bit annoyed if my goalkeeper coach did that to me. It's a little dinkaroo, isn't it? Ball's landed to him. Just a little chip, dipped just under the crossbar. It is a phenomenal finish with his left foot as well. Beautiful finish. But yeah, I can imagine if that was against me, I would have been having words with my goalkeeper coach after training.
It is the EFL overview starting in the Championship, where I know I seem to say this every week at the moment, and there was a rather odd suggestion from his manager that Victor Johansson could have been at fault for the two goals scored by QPR after going behind to Rotherham. But still, what a save from Victor Johansson in the first half at QPR. Another save of the weekend contender from the Swede in instinctively palming over Michael Frey's close range header. Gavin Batsunu guilty of the old cliched come out, don't take it all with you and subsequently concede scenario. Southampton suffering a shock defeat with Jafik Tanganga opening the scoring as Millwall back to first win in eight at St Mary's. And that was thanks to a late save from Matias Sarkic diving low to his right to prevent a 17th Adam Armstrong goal of the campaign.
Yeah, well, look, let's start with Sarkic. Brilliant save this. Again, seems like the theme of the show, but, you know, talk about weight distribution. He's moved to his left, header back down to his right, full stretch, fingertips, massive save, massive moment. As you say, a big 3 points for them. Yeah, we'll focus very much on the save from Johansson because you're right, it is up there for save of the week contender. This is a bullet header going above him to his right. The athleticism that he has is just incredible. How he's managed to get up, get a hand to it, and the whole body follows. Brilliant, brilliant save. And yeah, Gavin Batsunu, look, we're going to see this goal over and over again many, many times because it's that classic one. Cross comes in, the ball's dipping all the time, and it makes it so tough when you're coming through bodies to get the ball at his highest point. It's obviously just dipped that little bit more than he anticipated. Of course, the lad gets a header before him and inevitably ends up in the net. And it's one of those tricky ones in that you want your goalkeeper to keep coming for these types of crosses. You know, it's so effective when they can come, get a punch, get a catch. But from time to time, this will happen. So, yeah, frustrating moment for him.
Into League One, where there was plenty going on as per. Dan Grimshaw with big saves at 1-1 and 2-1 up in Blackpool's eventual battering of Bolton. First, a left arm to jubilantly deny John Daddy Budvarsson, and then a spread and backside to keep out Carlos Gomez. A special mention from that game for Joel Coleman, who suffered his first defeat in five for the Trotters since stepping in for the injured Nathan Baxter. Really good reactions to push a Carl Joseph effort over the bar in the second half. Also worth a mention is the fact that Bolton have bravely gone without a subkeeper for all of those aforementioned five games. Absolute shambles at Port Vale as Nathan Smith gifted Joe Taylor and Lincoln an opener, with Connor Ripley miles out of his goal and letting his defender know in no uncertain terms what he thought of the matter. Annoyingly, Ripley was then guilty of doing the exact same thing in the second half when passing straight to Ted Bishop and having to scamper back to save his blushes. He did, I should say though, make a very good save from the resulting corner. And from absolute shambles to absolute pinball in the box as Carlisle tried to capitalise on a lead at Bristol Rovers. Luke Armstrong's header blocked before John Mellis saw his efforts somehow saved by a sprawling Jed Ward. Rovers coming back to win 2-1 and condemn the Cumbrians to an eighth straight loss. Harry Eisted convincingly keeping it clean for the first time since reclaiming his spot from Ashley Maynard Brewer at Charlton. Owen Moxon's creative volley tipped over, although the Addicts remain winless in 16. And usurping that tip over was Jamie Cumming. I love everything about this one. The speed, the spring, the athleticism, all the good stuff as he flew across his line to top-hand a Tom James free kick over the bar, but not on the winning side. That went to Leighton Orient, who had a celebration from Sol Brin to celebrate as he parried a late Ruben Rodriguez header to safety.
Yeah, I think we've got to start with the Jamie Cumming save because I thought this was absolutely world-class. You know, I talk a lot about up and over the wall, in the corner, ordinarily, you wave a goodbye, you congratulate the attacker for the free kick, and this was effectively the perfect free kick, up over the wall, into the top corner. The explosive power he shows here to get across, get up, top hand save, it's just a beautiful, beautiful save, and this is definitely a contender for save of the weekend. You mentioned Dan Grimshaw there, a couple of brilliant saves, both similar to an extent, one from the left, one from the right, but the timing and execution of the spread. You know, we spoke earlier about Edison deciding to drop behind the line to give himself reaction time. There are times when you just can't do that, and this is one of those squared across the six. You've then got a choice. You stay on your line and try and react. You're probably not going to have the reaction time, or do you try and get as close as you can to the attacking player and make yourself as big as you can? I thought both of these were absolutely spot on. And yeah, just to mention the shambles, as you call it. I mean, it was just bizarre to watch, wasn't it? Where balls been put down to a free kick. And I don't know if he's just not seen him, the defender, but yeah, he's literally just passed it straight to him with an open goal. Just, yeah, crazy, crazy situation. And I think you can fully understand Conor Ripley's frustration.
And finally, in League Two, where there was even more going on. So a third successive win for Crawley at Accrington. Corey Adai enjoying an eventful afternoon, especially when holding his nerve with a flicker and a half to bat away from Jake Bickerstaff. Glenn Morris back in the groove for his first league start of the campaign, straight into the clean sheet club with a blank against Wrexham and a top triple stop, first from Elliot Lee, then from Stephen Fletcher, and then effectively from himself as he spun back to scoop an equaliser off the line. A huge 3 points for the Gills that keeps them in amongst the playoff spots. Heavy defeats for Salford and Newport at the hands of Mansfield and MK Dons respectively, but we shall still flag fine saves from Alex Cairns and Nick Townsend. Cairns with a brilliant tip over from Lewis Reed when still goalless, and Townsend twice at the ready to foil Joseph Tomlinson and Lewis Bate. A few more: Harvey Cartwright earning a valuable point for Grimsby in their fight against the drop, Guion Edwards seeing his 20-yarder pushed wide, and a first mention for Jack Bycroft of Swindon. 8 saves to knock Stockport off top spot. Pick of the bunch, a point blank push out from Paddy Madden's pile driver, and another first mention precedes another save of the weekend contender, Sutton's Steve Arnold, managing what a number of goalkeepers do not, in counteracting the in-swinging free kick, evade everyone and bounce into the far corner debacle with an excellent piece of agility to lift Arthur Reed's goal-bound delivery over. And that was a save which very nearly prompted a win over Colchester for League Two's basement boys, had it not been for Owen Goodman saving Harry Smith's penalty. That was 10 minutes from time, where celebrations ensued, both from the well-stocked travelling crowd and Goodman himself.
Right, where do we start? A lot of League Two action this week, it has to be said. But certainly want to mention Jack Bycroft. Got a lot of love in the reports. I hadn't actually seen the footage by the time I saw the reports, but I saw a lot of 9 out of 10s. Fantastic performance from him. As you say, a couple of top saves in there. Also to mention Corey Adai. I saw that he was in the EFL Team of the Week. So big moment for him, and certainly seems to be building a really, really good season. Big save, you say, from Harvey Cartwright. I know they've had a really tough time recently. A lot of goals conceded. Never easy for a goalkeeper. Not that I think he's necessarily been at fault for many, if any, but yeah, big save down to his right hand side. Really powerful dive to get a good hand to it. And also just to mention Glenn Morris, because first appearance of the season, I think I'm right in saying, but to step in again, and this is where you talk about having like the perfect number two, and as much as no doubt he'll still be really keen to play, and you know, still has the ability of course to play player of the season last season for Gillingham, but that's where we spoke a lot about Kelleher earlier in the show. But to have a goalkeeper that's got the ability to step in, big game as well for Gillingham, big win they ended up getting, but to have that kind of personality profile goalkeeper to be that too, not play for a period of time and be able to just step in and play a game like he did, you've got to give massive credit to Glenn Morris. Clean Sheet Club. And yes, we are at this point in the show. Let's see what delights Mr. Beadle has for me this week. It's time for Clean Sheet Club. Starting the Premier League, Sam Johnson back in, back clean. Edison, 2 in a week. Jose Sarr, bearded blank. Into the Championship, Freddie Woodman, streaky, no leaky. Connor Hazard, his first avowed intent. Into League One, Jed Steer, here, here. Louis Molden, welcome to the club. Harry Eisted, might as well face it, he's addicted to gloves. Will Norris, ever present. Lucas Jensen, 5-7. Tay Ashby Hammond, dangling that left leg in again. And we move to League Two. Corey Adai, hat-trick. Timothy Lotutala on the board for 23-24. Vicente Riez, welcome to the club, Mark II. Glenn Morris on the board for 23-24, Mark II. Jackson Smith, sprightly Sadler. Michael Kelly, welcome to the club, Mark III. Ben Hinchcliffe, 7 days of stalemates. Jack Bycroft, tally double.
Well, that, I think, Richard, is the best yet. Well done from you.
Thank you. This is it. Working from my bed. Maybe this is the way forward.
Maybe. Maybe that is the way forward. I don't feel like you struggled with any this week.
No, do you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate them when I understand them. And I think I've understood all of these, I think. Is there any that, in particular, you were particularly proud of yourself about?
Proud of? No. Although it did occur to me, with the Harry Eisted one, that we really should champion that obviously addicted because of the addicts. Mm-hmm. I've gone with that play on words, but might as well face it. He's addicted to gloves. It's the perfect song for this podcast, an homage, if you will, to Robert Palmer. And yeah, this rather excellent track. You know the one?
I know the one. No, I know what you've done there. That's what I mean. I understand this one. That's clever.
It's good, isn't it? It's good. Here we go. Come on, Rich. Here we go. Might as well face it. He's addicted to gloves.
Clever.
So we should all be singing this.
Clever. This is how you spend your evenings.
Would you like the table?
I'd love the table.
So a quick change in second and third place. Alex Palmer has leapfrogged Ian Melier. So Melier with 14 in 32. Palmer now on 15 in 34, but still top of the pile is Will Norris with 16 in 35. I should also make a public apology here, because last week I incorrectly stated that Josh Vickers had kept a clean sheet for Derby County, which he did not. Of course, it was Joe Wildsmith. The messages came pouring in. And I did make a personal apology to Mr. Wildsmith, who did accept said apology. So the statistic was correct on Wildsmith, but the name was obviously Josh Vickers, which I wholeheartedly apologise for. Sometimes we all make mistakes.
This is true, but, you know, look, and I appreciate your apology, but given that we now have probably lost about 25% of our listeners, you know, which is a good two, I can you apologise for that? Can you make up for that?
I will do my best, mate. I'll do my best. More Robert Palmer maybe is the solution there. Or maybe I've just lost another 25%. Maybe we're on half of our listenership now. Okay, Richard, to finish, there is a bit of news. One big piece of news which was released this week is that Joe Hart is set to retire at the end of the season. I don't know whether you've spoken to Joe since this announcement was made, but the interesting thing that I thought was the fact that he kept repeating the fact that he was still up for it, still wants to play and kind of wants to bow out on a high, wants to kind of think, yeah, I can still do it, but still bow out when he thinks that he can still do it.
Yeah, well, look, do you know what? And I appreciate it. Someone with his, you know, his career, what he's done, and if anything, to make the statement now, I don't mind that. I mean, look, I say it also because I did a similar thing, much lower level, of course, but yeah, made it known quite early, because I think once you've got your mind made up, the nice thing now is that he can really finish on the biggest high. You know, he can go out, leave everything out there. He knows that 3 months and he'll be done with playing, and what he decides to do thereafter, I'm sure he'll stay in football in some capacity. You'd like to think that he would. But yeah, I think it's... a lot will wait until the end of the season. You see a lot, because normally a retirement can come from injury. It can come from getting to the summer and realizing there aren't the options there that you wished were there. And it's almost forced retirement. But I think it's quite nice when you can make that choice. And, you know, obviously Rangers fans listening in won't like this, but, you know, you kind of hope from his point of view, he can finish on that ultimate high. If they do end up winning the league and he can have a strong end to the season, yeah, what a lovely way to cap off a fantastic career.
Brilliant. That's another 10% of the listenership gone there, Richard. We're up to 60% now.
We're down to three. But look, you guys, we appreciate you so much. Please stay.
Well, that's Joe Hart bowing out at 36. At 39, returning to the game for the past few weeks, has been Kieran Westwood, who's come back in for Crewe. He was there in pre-season, but due to a slight injury crisis at the club, he's been back in, sitting on the bench, but yeah, back in at 39 years old.
Yeah, he is. And credit to him, because he obviously is one that never officially retired and obviously got that gig at QPR not so long ago. Been waiting in the wings, and you just wondered, would there be another opportunity? If there wasn't, you do then think that maybe come the summer, he might then officially say, yeah, do you know what, I'm done at that point. But I think there's that as well. If you love the game, and he obviously absolutely loved the game, I've heard in the background that he's been keeping himself fit. He's been doing a lot of training throughout this whole time to make sure that he's ready for when that opportunity comes up. And this is a great opportunity. I think he's got a good relationship with Fred Barber, as far as I know. So that's, I'm guessing, where some of this would have originated. Of course, Crewe deciding that, you know, for their promotion push to bring in someone of his experience, it makes a lot of sense. And I'm delighted for him. And yeah, hopefully he gets some game time.
Yep, let's hope so. And no more hoping for Australia women's football fans, goalkeeping fans of Mackenzie Arnold of the Matildas. The Nike jersey that she wore in the World Cup has now been made 6 months after the event, available for sale. So Mary Earps and all her good work is seeming to do its thing. And just to quickly touch on MLS. So news coming out of LA Galaxy. Jonathan Bond has parted company with LA Galaxy. A good 3 years for Jonathan Bond there. And also Toronto FC's Sean Johnson bagged his 100th MLS shutout at the weekend. It was an opening day draw with FC Cincinnati. Some really good saves in that one from him too. But yes, celebrating a century of shutouts.
Yeah, well, just to mention the MLS news that you touched on there. I think Sean Johnson, again, massive well done to him. And again, we don't see a great deal of it over here, but you know, has been so steady over the years. Top goalkeeper over there. Big achievement. And of course, I don't play as many games in the MLS to actually reach 100 clean sheets. Massive achievement there. And a really interesting one, the Jonathan Bond one, given that, and again, you know, obviously you're in LA at the moment, so I'm sure you're speaking to Galaxy fans day in, day out, but I know he's adored there, had a fantastic few seasons. But this is where, again, the MLS is very different to how the English system works, in that they do have salary caps, and you sometimes see this at this stage of their season, when they're about to go into the season. They've got to be roster compliant, which effectively means they need to make sure they're under the budget. Kind of, I suppose the similarity would be FFP in England, but it's really, really strict in America. And it was quite a mutually beneficial situation, in that the likelihood is that Bondi would have started the season, no doubt. But given that he is on a bigger salary, and over there, all the salaries are made public, it made more sense for them to allow him to move on. They had two other goalkeepers there. And now for Jonathan Bond, it'll be interesting to see what his next step is, whether he stays in the MLS, no doubt. In fact, I'm aware that he's had a couple of options already, or potentially coming back to England this summer. So watch this space.
Watch this space. Indeed, I did watch the game, actually, yesterday. It was a heck of a game. If you haven't watched the highlights of that game between LA Galaxy and Inter Miami, it's well worth the watch. A couple of really good saves from Drake Callender, the Inter Miami goalkeeper. Some good work from John McCarthy at the other end too, and some good work from a man who bowed out of the FA Cup, for this season at least, in style. Lucas Kovalan, Maidstone United falling foul of a 5-0 defeat, I think it was, wasn't it, against Coventry City. But a nice bit of trickery from Kovalan, typical Kovalan, you might say.
Good stuff. Did you actually go to the game, or did you just watch it on TV?
No, I watched it on TV. I didn't go to the game.
Oh, so he didn't sort you out a ticket.
Very good.
No, but I did see and Lionel Messi, wasn't it, last gasp equaliser in that one. Which, a shame for Galaxy, would have been a great way to start. And yes, like you say, a big well done to Lucas Kovalan. Quite the journey they've had in the FA Cup. It is a shame that it was those three early goals, wasn't it, which killed. That would have been lovely, wouldn't it, if it had been level going into the second half. But as you say, they've had a fantastic run, and a big well done to him.
Richard, this has been Bumper. I've thoroughly enjoyed it. Had a good feeling about today's show. And yeah, I feel like it's gone down well. So well done you. Thank you.
Thank you for the compliment. I will be going back to sleep right now. And well done you. Enjoy the rest of your evening over there.
This has been the Goalkeepers Union podcast. Between the sticks, keepers
away.